Thank the Lord for that. Amen. All right, I'm going to get into the message tonight. I do want to say this. I was walking around with that microphone. I was just getting tickled at some things that were going on. But I asked Lauren before the service about her testimony. I thought that's probably what it was a couple weeks ago. And I think she stood up to clear up. She told me outside that she was afraid that people thought her and Scott were having marital problems after her last time she stood up and said, we went through two difficult trials. And she said, I think people probably thought we were having marital problems, but it wasn't marital problems. But that's a good testimony. Praise the Lord for that. I'm glad for that. And then Miss Faulkner, y'all didn't see it, but I seen it with the microphone. When she got done, she kind of slid that thing in front of Brother Faulkner and kind of stopped before she handed it to me, and I was like thinking, Brother Faulkner, you see what she's doing, right? She's ready for you to say something, amen. But anyway, it's good to be in God's house, and so I want to preach to you tonight out of the book of Acts. We're going to continue our study on Peter. Last week, we talked about Peter's preaching, and tonight I want to look at Peter's power. I had Pastor read chapter 3, verse 12, and it says, when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, ye men of Israel, why marvel you at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us as though by our own power or holiness we have made this man to walk? And so I want to look tonight at Peter's power, and I want to explain that here in just a second. You know, Pastor mentioned something about power this morning. I can't remember exactly what it was, but as he was preaching, he got to one of his points, and he began to talk about power. I thought, oh no, I knew what I was preaching on tonight. And I thought, man, he's going to preach, and I'm not going to have anything to preach tonight. And by the way, let me go ahead and say this. Do y'all know what I got to follow up tonight? I mean, come on. Y'all please pray for me. I told Philip after church this morning, I said, man, how do you follow preaching like that? You're talking about putting pressure on you, man. But anyway, I called Pastor this afternoon. I said, Pastor, if you're not done, feel free. Feel free to keep going tonight. And but anyway, he said, no, it's God's will for you to preach. And so, but he talked about power this morning. And, you know, I'm afraid that we've gotten used to ministry or ministering without power. I really am afraid of that as a preacher myself. I think I said it last week when I was talking about Peter's preaching and talking about being filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, we put a lot of emphasis on a lot of things in our churches today and in our ministries. But what we need more than anything is power. Amen. It's not programs. It's not promotions. Right. And I'm not against them. There's churches that have campaigns and promotions, and I'm not against those things. Not against programs. We just had one. Vacation Bible School was a program. And I'm not against programs. And I know you're not. But it's not programs. And it's not promotions. And it's not personalities. Right. In our day, a lot of people are enamored with personalities. I've been guilty of it myself. There's preachers that got great charisma. They got great personality. But that's not the need of the hour. It's not programs, promotions, personalities. No, it's power.
Right.
Power is what we need. And Peter had the power that we need. And I want to talk to you tonight about that power, Peter's power. The first point of this message is this. I want to talk about the origin, right? Where did it come from? Where did Peter get his power? I think it's very clear if you read these passages of scripture that Pastor read in your hearing, that Peter understood where his power came from. He said in verse number 12, look ye so earnestly on us as though by our own power. Peter said, it's not our power, right? And it says that Peter said, by our own power or holiness, we have made this man to walk. He said, the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One and the just and desired a murderer to be granted unto you and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And then he says in verse 16, and in his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong. You see, Peter knew where his power came from. He knew the origin of his power. In Acts chapter number 4, Pastor also read in your here and there, those men asked in verse number 7, by what power or by what name have you done this? And Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, he said in verse 10, be it known unto you all and to all people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. You see, Peter knew where the power came from. Jesus said in Acts chapter number 1 and verse number 8, he said, but ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me. So Peter understood where the power came from. And I know I'm preaching to the Sunday night church tonight, and you know where the power comes from. But I'm just reminding you, as God was reminding me, the power that we need is a power that is not of this world. We need God's power, and Peter understood that. Not only did Peter understand that, but Peter attained that. He had God's power on his life. Matthew 28, verse number 18, Jesus said that all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth, right? Jesus said, I have all power. He said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and teach them to observe all things, and whatsoever I have commanded you, he said, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. See, Jesus said, I've got power, and I'm sending you, and I'm going to go with you. That means you've got power.
Amen.
Peter had power, and he got his power from Jesus. Peter knew where his power came from. It reminds me of, I read it this afternoon, I was cross-referencing some verses, and I didn't write it down, but it reminds me of, I think it's in John, I believe. I was looking up a verse in John, and Jesus, it just jumped right out at me. When Jesus was standing before Pilate, you know what Pilate said to Jesus? He said, know ye not that I have the power to crucify you and the power to release you? And you know what Jesus said to Pilate? He said, you have no power at all, except it were given to you from God. See, Jesus said, Pilate, you might think you have power, but the only power you got is the power that God gives you. Romans chapter 13 says that all power comes from God. It says, let every soul be subject to the higher powers, because every power that be is of God. You see, any power in this world was given by God, because God is the origin of power. He's the originator of power. He is the author of power. He has authority. That's what Jesus is talking about in Matthew 28 when he says, all power. He says, I've got authority.
Amen.
I have the power. And when Peter said, you think in verse number 12, he said, when he said to those men, why you look earnestly on us as though by our own power? He said, by our own authority. He said, don't you think for one minute it's by our authority that this man is whole? See, Peter understood, it's not by my authority, it's by his authority. Peter understood where his power came from, the origin of power, how we need power. We don't have that power in ourselves. But I'm glad that when we get saved, we are plugged into a power.
Amen.
I was thinking about this. My power went out yesterday at the house for about, I don't know, 10 seconds. Anybody else lose power yesterday? A couple of you, okay. Man, that's a helpless feeling. It really is. I was in my basement, in my office. I don't have no windows in my office. I had my door closed, and the power went out. And I was like, I mean, it was dark. Where's my phone? I'm reaching from my desk. And I was by myself. My wife was gone out with her mom, and I had the kids there. And I just knew if this power stays off long, I've got it. There's going to be some kids wanting to know where I'm at. But it's a helpless feeling to lose power. Some of us experienced it back in January. I was thinking about that, man. Wasn't that miserable? Not having no power. I had power. I was out of power for over a week. Thank God for a generator, amen? I mean, it's not a good feeling to lose power. But I'm afraid that we're living in an age. We're living in a time where the church has lost its power. But we just heard in song, he hasn't changed. His power hasn't changed. We heard it this morning. Pastor said, wilt thou not revive us again? See, he can do it. He has the power. But we're not plugged in like we need to be to that power. But Peter was plugged into the power. I'm telling you, hey, there is a power that's out of this world, and we need that power. Psalm 62:11 says, God has spoken once. Twice have I heard this, that power belongeth to God.
Amen.
Man, how we need God's power. I don't want to serve God without His power. You know, I'm glad I was thinking about this. I'm glad there's a lot of talk in our day that you know, the grid's going to go down. And it may. I don't know. I hope not. But there's a strong possibility. Right? They talk about the grid going down. We lose power. Or they talk about blackouts. I think out west, some folks maybe used to live out west. Maybe you already know about that. They have what they call, is it rolling blackouts, they call it? Where the power goes out in certain areas out west, out towards California. I'm talking about maybe that could happen out here on the East Coast. I don't know, but I don't know. I just know that when you lose power, it's a helpless feeling. But I sure am glad to report to you tonight that we have plugged into a power that's grid isn't going down. Amen. The grid is not going to go down on this plug that we're plugged into, okay? There's not too much wattage to pull it down. When the power went out this past January, I had a generator, and my generator has a little box on it, and I had to watch that box because my electrician told me you don't want to put too many watts. You don't want to overpower your generator, so you got to watch the wattage, right? So there was a certain amount of wattage. I had to watch what I plugged in or what I turned on at one time. I couldn't run my hot water heater and my pressure tank at the same time, right? Why? Because it pulled too many watts. Can I tell you, I'm so glad that there's a power in this world that doesn't pull too many watts. It never runs out. It's got all power. Jesus said, all power is given unto me, and we can get plugged into that power. Peter was plugged into that power. I want that power. I believe you want that power. We need that power. So number one, we see the origin of the power. The power is of God. And God has given that power to Jesus. Right?
Amen.
Jesus said, all power is given unto me.
Right?
Right? God said, God the Father gave the power to God the Son, and God the Son said, hey, I'll give that power to you.
Right.
Ye shall receive power. And so we have power. We have access to that power. And so it comes from God. And Peter had that power. And so we see the origin of the power. But I also want to see this, the opportunity. Or really, you could say the opportunities. Look in Acts chapter number 3. The Bible says, now Peter and John, in verse number 1, went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour, and a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. Verse 4 says, and Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. I underlined that verse, fastening his eyes upon him. Peter saw an opportunity. I wonder how many opportunities we pass up. See, we have power. We're plugged into the source, the power source. And God puts opportunities in our way every day, and I wonder how often we miss those opportunities. Peter was looking for it. The Bible says he fastened his eyes upon him. Look at verse number 12. We already read that, but it says in verse 12, and when Peter saw it, say, what did he see? An opportunity. If you read down through here, we may get there in a second. There's no question in my mind that Peter saw an opportunity. All the people came together and wondered, and they were amazed. It says in verse number 11, as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, and all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's. Look, greatly wondering, and when Peter saw it, what did Peter see? An opportunity. How often do we miss opportunities? How often does someone walk through the doors of this church? Or maybe better yet, how often is someone brought through the doors of this church? That's what this man was, right? Acts chapter 3. What's it say? A certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried. They laid him daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. I don't have time to go into all of this. It's so much here. This is a transition period, and I understand the church doesn't go to the temple. The Jews hadn't quite figured out the church completely, but they were going to the temple, and that was the place where God, they felt like God was, and the people had brought that lame man to the temple because they knew if anybody will help him, the people at the temple will. And I wonder how often, I was thinking about this, I wonder how often God has brought somebody into my path, an opportunity to exercise the power of God, and I missed it. How many times people have walked through those doors and they were looking for something? This man was looking for something. And Peter saw an opportunity and he seized it. I don't want to miss my opportunities. I've missed a bunch of them. Man, I've missed a bunch of them. I'm sure you have too. You say, well, Brother David, he wasn't looking for the right thing. I mean, it's clear what he was looking for. Look at verse 3. Who, seeing Peter and John to go into the temple, asked alms. So he wasn't looking for the right thing, Brother David. He wanted money. He wanted a gift. He wanted alms. He wanted something from them, right? You say he wasn't looking for the right thing. Can I tell you, I wasn't either. I don't know what you were looking for, but I know I wasn't. I won't go into all the details of what I was looking for, but I remember when I walked into the back of a Baptist church, and I sat down on the back pew of a Baptist church, and I can tell you this, I wasn't looking for what I got. But I sure am glad that even though I wasn't looking for it, I got it. Amen. This man may have been looking for money, but you know what he got? A miracle. I came to church, and you know, as you said, there's people, well, Brother David, there's people coming to this church, and that's what they're looking for is money. And I'm going to agree with you. There are people that will come to a church looking for money, but can I tell you, we got something far better than money to offer to them. We got a miracle to offer to them. And that's what Peter did. Peter said, hey, silver and gold have I none, but what I have, I give unto thee. Peter said, I don't got money for you, but I got a miracle for you, amen. He said, hey, there is something this man, I can give this man. Opportunities. Man, thank God for what we can have in Jesus. I'm getting a little ahead of myself here. I'm looking back over here, Brother Calvin. I'm glad you took the opportunity, brother. Good night. My heart fluttered a minute when I was preaching there for a second, and I was talking about walking into the back of a Baptist church, and I glanced over, and I seen Brother Calvin. I sure am glad you took an opportunity, brother. I walked out of a church. Many of you heard it, but you know what? I'm like Paul. I just never get tired of telling it. I never get tired of telling it. I walked into the back of a Baptist church, lost as I could be. I wasn't looking for Jesus. I was looking for something, but it wasn't Jesus. But I sure am glad that I heard the gospel our pastor preached, and I raised my hand, and I went down into the basement there at Bethel Baptist Church, and a man took the Bible and tried to show me how to be saved. But in my pride and my arrogance, I walked out of that Baptist church lost in my sin on my way to a devil's hell, and I went to my house, and I was sitting in my driveway, and somebody saw an opportunity. And I sure am glad they took it, man. I'm telling you right now, I'm so glad Brother Calvin took the opportunity and called me and asked me, can I come by and talk to you? Because I got in. Amen. I don't want to miss the opportunities. Amen. God's putting them before us all the time. Amen. Opportunities every day. Brother Larry and I went and got breakfast the other morning. Opportunity, wasn't it, Brother Larry? I was telling Brother Larry, Brother Ouellette will be here with us in a couple months, Lord willing, I hope. Pray for Brother Ouellette. He's got throat cancer, but he's getting chemo, and he says it's going to be okay. God, he says chemo, and then they say they're just going to watch it, doctor visits. He's going to be all right. So you pray for Brother Ouellette if you didn't know that. Brother Ouellette's going to be with us here soon, but I'll never forget the first time when I went out to eat with Brother Ouellette. If you don't do this, this is a great opportunity. First time we went to eat with Brother Ouellette, our waitress come over there, and he said, ma'am, he said, you know, we're preachers. I'm preaching in this area, and this is the pastor of a church. I'm an evangelist, and I'm preaching. He said, but before we eat, he said, we like to pray. Is there something we could pray for you about? And I remember the first time he did that, that waitress, I mean, with tears welled up in her eyes. I can't remember exactly what she asked us to pray for, but she, I mean, it meant something to her. And we prayed for her. Opportunity. Opportunity. Every day God puts opportunities in our path. At the gas pump, the person beside us, you know what that person is? An opportunity. The cashier across the counter, you know what that person is? An opportunity. That person that we're working for, doing work at their house or on the job or whatever it is, you say, what are they? Opportunities. Peter saw an opportunity and he took it. Thank God for people that take opportunities. So number one, we see the origin. Number two, we see the opportunities. Number three, we see the offer. I got a little ahead of myself there. Peter was offering this man something far better than money. Look at it. Let's read it. Verse number 3. I love it. Verse number 5. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something to them. See, he thought he was going to get some money. But I'm telling you, he got something far better than money. I mean, he got a miracle. It goes on to talk about it. You read chapter 3 and chapter 4. They can't deny the miracle that happened. But this man thought he was going to get some money. Peter said to him in verse 6, then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he leaping up stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. You talking about a beautiful picture of salvation.
Amen.
I'm not going to go into it because it's not my message tonight, but you just kind of think about it a little bit. This lame man from birth, right? This man was helpless. He was hopeless. He couldn't do anything for himself, but he got healed. He stood up. He walked. He praised God. He went into the temple. You talking about a picture of salvation. That's the way we all were. We were lame. We were helpless. We were hopeless. We didn't stand a chance, but we heard in Ephesians, but God, who was rich in mercy with his great love wherewith he loved us, he reached down, he saved us, he set us on our feet, and he established our goings, and he put a song in our heart and joy in our soul and praise on our lips. Amen. And he's just been good to us that way. And Amen. Peter said, hey, I don't got no money for you, but man, I got a miracle for you.
Amen.
What are we offering this world?
Amen.
God, help us to offer them something better than, you know, I wrote down here, we're not offering help, we're offering hope.
Right.
We are offering help, but it's not just help we're offering, it's hope. Can I tell you, we're not just offering answers. People need answers, but we're not just offering answers. We're offering the antidote. You hear what I'm saying? We got more to offer than anybody in this world. The world has all these things that they're offering people, all these programs that they'll put them in, and all these self-help methods and all this different stuff that the world is offering, but they don't have what we have. We have what we can offer them will be a miracle to change them forever.
Right.
It's right. A power that this world knows nothing about, that we're plugged into. God, help us to offer it to them. God, help me to offer that power to somebody. Tonight, tomorrow, every opportunity that God puts in my path, God, have mercy on me for not offering people what they need. Man, God puts people in our paths all the time. And I'm just guilty of offering them all the wrong things. I'm not against offering help. I want to help people. I'm not against offering money. Sometimes. I pulled up to out in front of Chick-fil-A. Really don't have much to do with my message, but I'll tell it to you anyway. I pulled up in front of Chick-fil-A in Charlottesville, and there was one of them people standing on the corner. It was hot. It was hot. It was in the middle of summer. It was last summer, I think. And this person was standing. It was a girl standing there with one of them signs. And I pulled up, and I mean, she was literally closest to me as Pastor is. Is that not one of the most awkward feelings in the world? You're like, you pull your phone out. Yeah. Start acting like you're on the phone. Don't act like y'all ain't never done that before, right? Yeah, I'm on my way. I'll be there in a couple. Yeah, man, okay, yeah. Light, please change. Good. But I pulled up and I'm sitting there and, you know, I could just feel her looking at me. And so I kind of glance over. And I really, honestly, I didn't have no money. If I'd had some money, I believe I would have given her a couple dollars with the gospel tract. But nobody carries money no more. I don't know how these people make it. Because nobody carries cash anymore. I'm waiting for the day I'm really drambling now, but I'm waiting for the day that one of these people is going to be standing out there with one of them cards. You know what I mean? They got them new little things that you just stick your card in. You know, I mean, they're small. They're like that big. I'm waiting for one of them to just stick that out there like, you know, accepting. We got this on the sign, accepting cards, right? Oh, man, that's bad. But it's probably going to happen before too long. But anyway, I leaned over. I can't remember exactly what I said. I said, ma'am, I said, I don't think I said this. I think I thought it. I almost said, it's hot out here, ain't it? If you don't go to heaven, it's going to be a lot hotter. But I looked over at her and I said, ma'am, I said, I want to give you something. I said, it's far better than money. And I said, if you'll read this right here, it'll help you. And she literally done this. Stuck her tongue out at me, man. I'm not lying. She had a tongue. I can still picture. She had a tongue ring. She stuck her tongue out at me. I was like, good night. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to. But see, I mean, it was an opportunity. That wasn't a good illustration, right? It didn't work out the way. I probably didn't have no power, okay? I'm sorry. If I'd have had some power, that thing probably would have worked different, but I wasn't plugged into the power. Evidently, I was, you know, trying to lie and act like I was on the phone. But anyway, so opportunities. I don't know. Offer. I don't know why I went there, right? What are we offering people? You know, it's hard to offer somebody something we don't have. What did Peter say in verse number 6? Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have. What you got, Peter? I got the power of God. Amen. Peter said, I got some power. Jesus has given me some power, and I've got some power, and I'm offering you something that I got. It's power. You know, it's hard for us to offer somebody something we don't have. We need God's power. We got to have God's power. If we're going to offer people something, it's got to be something we have. People know. So we see the offer. Number 4, look at the onlookers. Look at the onlookers. Look at verse number 9. The Bible says that all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he which set it for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed hailed Peter and John, and all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. I put the onlookers here. You know, when God's power is present, it gets people's attention. When God's power is present, it gets people's attention. I hope that people that knew me before I got saved have witnessed the power of God in my life. Look over in Acts chapter number 4. I hope this is my testimony. Look at verse 16. It says, verse 15, but when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, what shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. You know, they can try all they want, but people cannot deny the power of God in a person's life. They can't deny it. Our family members, our friends, our co-workers, our classmates, those that we are, as Brother Brian says, rub necks with every day. Y'all remember that? Y'all don't remember that, do you? Brother Brian prayed about rubbing necks. I said, what are y'all doing at work, man? Good night, rubbing necks. I can pick on Brian because he's not here right now, but I don't know, man. That must be a new COVID thing, rubbing necks, right? I hope not. Hey, man, I thought we was like bumping fists or something nowadays. We're not rubbing necks. But anyway, man, I keep getting myself off track here. I don't even know what I'm talking about. Oh, yeah, I know what I'm talking about. People's watching. People are watching. And they can't deny the power of God in our lives. I remember telling my dad is not a believer and still says he's not a believer. But one time I told my dad, I said, you can't deny what God has done in my life. You saw what I was. I was a debt. God has put Lazarus before your eyes.
I was a dead man walking. Ye were dead in trespasses and sins, but he hath quickened you who were dead in trespasses and sins. I was a dead man walking. I said, Dad, you can't deny what has happened in my life. The power of God changed my life. They can't deny, Pastor, what happened in your life. The people that knew Dale Freeman before he got saved cannot deny the power that was put into his life. They can't deny it. Now, they can reject it, but they can't deny it. They can reject it. They can choose willfully to reject it, but they cannot deny it. They have been given a witness. The Bible says that we are epistles known and read of all men. And they look at us and they see what has happened in our lives and they cannot deny it. The onlookers. You know why I want the power of God in my life? Because my children are watching. Because my family is watching. Because my friends that I grew up with are watching. And my coworkers are watching. And there's a lost world that's watching. And they need to see the power of God in my life because they cannot deny it. The onlookers. Not only the onlookers, but look at this, the opposition. You know, there's always opposition when God's power is present. Always opposition. I'm praying for God's power to be over at the camp, Brother Ricky. But I know if it's there, the opposition will be too. You mark it down. When God starts moving and his power is present, there's always opposition lurking somewhere in the shadows. You know, the sad part is, if you read this story, the opposition comes from religious people. You know, our biggest problem really is probably not the pimps and the prostitutes. They just want us to offer them what we've got. I'll tell you who our biggest problem are, the Pharisees. I'm alliterating this thing. It ain't the pimps and the prostitutes, it's the Pharisees, and that starts with a P, amen. And I'm telling you right now, there's a crowd out there that opposes the power of God. They were here. You can look at it, Acts chapter 4. The Bible says in verse number 1, it says, And as they spake unto the people, and the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead, and they laid hands on them and put them in hold until the next day, for it was now evening time. I already read verse 16 and verse 17. They said, but that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all or teach in the name of Jesus. You see, the power of God will bring opposition. We pray for revival. We pray for power. We pray for God to do something. Can I tell you, the enemy's not going to sit back and just let it happen. Right. I don't want to be the opposition. I can be. I hope you don't want to be. Because you can be. The devil will use us. Talking about Paul was talking to saved people. He said, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. He said, quench not the Spirit. Jesus talked about how he could do no mighty works amongst those people because of their unbelief. The Bible talks about in Psalms limiting the Holy One of Israel. That's the Old Testament. Old Testament Israel. The children of Israel, God's people nationally, they limited the Holy One of Israel because of their unbelief. And see, if we're not careful, we can be opposition to the power of God. Pastor's preaching on revival and says, you believe God can send revival? If we're not careful, we'll in our heart, we'll say with our mouth, amen. But in our heart, we'll say, no, 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 no. And you know what we're going to do? We're going to hinder. We're going to grieve. We're going to quench. We're going to limit the Holy One of Israel. I don't want to be the opposition. And I don't believe you do either. You know, God's power, I wrote this down, I'm almost done. God's power messes up people's plans. God's power messes up people's plans. I said this morning, I hope God speaks to my children. I'm not trying to call my children. I'm going to make it clear to my children before they go tomorrow that what I said, Pastor, I meant God. I don't want for 1 minute my children to make some decision because they think Daddy wants them to.
I want to make a decision because God tells them to. But can I tell you this? If God tells my children to do something, God help me stand in the way of it. I don't want to stand in the way of God doing something in my children's life. But I'll tell you this, there's a lot of parents out there that they're so scared of the power of God because it's going to mess up their plans. They got plans for their children. They got their future all planned out. They know what path they're going down to, what college they're going to, what career they're going to go into, who they're going to marry, and where they're going to live, and what they're going to do. And if we're not careful, as God's people, we'll be opposition to the power of God. I don't want to oppose the power of God. I want to welcome the power of God. My children will be so much better off in the will of God than in my will if they just don't even compare. Opposition. And last, the outcome. And I'm done. The outcome. When God's power is present, things happen. Look at verse number 4 of Acts chapter 4. The Bible says, "Howbeit many of them which heard the word," look at it, "believed. And the number of men was about 5,000. Wow. What happened? Power of God. The power of God. Can I tell you what will get souls saved? The power of God. We need the power of God. I've heard pastor talk about it before. We need the power of God so real. Have you ever read about the great awakenings and Charles Finney and some of those great men of God that preached and the power of God was so evident that people were just falling on their faces in the parking lot crying out for mercy? Jonathan Edwards preaching sinners in the hands of an angry God with his back turned towards the congregation, not raising his voice, just reading monotone through that message and the power of God falling on that place and people crying out, just wailing for God's mercy. It's real. Amen. That's the outcome of the power of God. Souls are saved. Look at verse number 14. The Bible says, "Behold, the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing." Again, verse number 14. They saw the man that was healed. That's why I wrote that. The man was healed. Look at verse 21. "So when they had further threatened them, they let him go find nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorified God for that which was done." You know what happens when God's power gets involved? He gets the glory. All men glorified God. I'm not going to read it, but verse 22 says, "For the man was above 40 years old in whom this miracle of healing was showed." And 23 says, "And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which hast made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is." You see, when God's power shows up, things happen. The outcome is people get saved. God gets the glory. God's people praise. I mean, you could go on and read, and I don't want to do it, but look down at the end of the chapter. It says in verse number 32, it says, "And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul, neither said any of them," verse 31, I'm sorry, it says, "And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness, and the multitude of them believed were of one heart and of one soul, neither said any of them that aught of things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common." And verse 33 says, "And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all." Oh, how we need God's power. Oh, how we need God's power. I'm praying this week for the camp to have God's power. You know what I want tomorrow as I go out, not to work, it's July 4th, as I go out in public? God's power. Work on Tuesday, God's power. We need God's power. Peter had the power of God. And oh, how we need it. Let's pray. Father, thank you, God, for your goodness. And thank you, Lord, for your power. God, I thank you, Lord, that there's a power that this world knows nothing about. God, how we long for it. God, how we need it. God, how many of us here have experienced it. God, I pray, Lord, that you would just fill us with your power. God, fill us with your spirit. Help us, Lord, to do your work in a way that would be pleasing to you. I pray for the camp this week. Oh, God, I pray for your power to be upon those men as they preach. God, I pray for your power to just settle down on that campground, in those cabins, out on those fields and beside those campfires. God, I pray that your power would be evident this week as our young people go to camp. God, I pray that you'd help us as we go out into public to be a people of power. God, how we need you. God, how we love you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Your head.